Well, good morning, you all. It's wonderful to fellowship again, another day that the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad in it. I have a question for you. What's growing in your garden? And as you will see through the teaching, you'll kind of understand where that question's coming from. But what's growing in your garden? Think about that. The law of seed time and harvest are paramount to understanding the life of a Christian, a believer. We are all familiar with the saying, you reap what you sow. All judgment on the earth is a result of that law. From the beginning of time, man was given the job to garden. In Genesis 2:15, God put man in the garden to dress it and keep it. That includes sowing and reaping. The result is a bountiful harvest. Doesn't God want us blessed exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think? He has that bountiful harvest for each one of us. But it takes an effort on our part. That was what the blessing has empowered us to do. We have been blessed with the seed of Abraham, and we have been commissioned to go into the fields ripe for harvest. So if you would turn with me to John chapter 4, we're going to start here. We're going to see a lot about reaping, sowing and reaping, about the harvest, and about the garden that we sow in our own hearts. So I hope you will enjoy this. In John chapter 4, we'll start with verse 32. Jesus had been ministering, and his disciples finally said, in 31 it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. He had been so busy doing all these things that they were concerned about him eating. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? So he's teaching them a great lesson that I think we will appreciate. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And that's what our lives are all about, doing the will of God and finishing it, finishing well. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, but that both he and he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. So this is a great example of the reaping and sowing. But God has set up he has set the harvest for us, and it's white already. The fruit is there to be picked. And in this harvest, sometimes people may be fruit from our own sowing. Some might be we're reaping because of other people's results. We had a phone call this morning from Arnold Russell, and he told us that he was with the Boozes Fellowship and then the Jackson Davis Fellowship, and they've been enjoying our conference call fellowship, and we have so many people that we touch in a different way. Some people, we just feed them the word or get them born again and someone else finishes the job. But God has a harvest for each one of us, and we are to sow and to reap, to be blessed, to see the fruits of our labor. But the will is, what we need to do is to do the will of the Father who has sent us. Ken Petty said a few years ago in a seminar that each one of us is given a plot of land to work. And in the Eastern culture, the plots were all lined up, so everybody had their own plot, and then they would grow their vegetables and everything. Well, our lives are that, we have that plot. And what are you growing in that garden? Are you growing love and joy and people following you, people that you're teaching the word to? That's what we need to do. What are we growing? How's your garden growing? In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, I'll read this to you. It says, "Sow for yourself righteousness, reap steadfast love. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you." That fallow ground is a hard ground. That's sometimes they leave it ground for a year and not plant just to get the nutrients back. But what happens is it's overgrown with weeds and thorns, and it becomes unhealthy ground. Well, we have to grow that good ground where we watch out for those weeds and those thorns, so that we can really sow for yourself righteousness, live rightly, and what will you reap but steadfast love? You know, we do what God wants us to do, and we have that love. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. I just thought this was a fascinating subject, because we see it throughout right now what's going on in our country. There's a lot of discord and confusion, and yet we, as believers, should be in peace. We don't have to be a part of this world. Mike McNair shared on Thursday about renewing our minds. We don't copy the ways of this world, but we renew our minds so that we might live the will of God, to live a prosperous life. But we have to control our minds. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 24, says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they?" And I'm reading the New King James, by the way. I have a question for you. Who does the sowing? Actually, I think I'm ahead of myself. I take that back. Why are we better than the birds? Because we were created to sow and to reap. They are there to bless us. You know, we have bird watchers all around us in this area, because we're called the wooded area. And there's trees that birds love to be around. And they're for our enjoyment. You go to the zoo and see the colors. It's just amazing what God's done. But their purpose is to be beautiful. Our purpose, and a lot of times, and they will pick up seeds and bring and drop them somewhere, and you'll have a tree come up. But that's not the primary purpose of theirs. That's what ours is. Our purpose is to sow and reap so that we can give to others. We need to always be thinking about others. Our divine destiny is to give, to speak the words of life, to represent Jesus Christ, who came, who proclaim the good news of the gospel of peace. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to bring sight to the blind. Those are the things that we do. But we have to sow and reap. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. It says, And he said, this is Jesus, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." I have a pop quiz for you. Who did the sowing? Man. Right? The man did the sowing. Who did the growing? God. God provided that rain. God provided that soil. He made the soil. Man didn't make any soil. He can't produce that. Who reaped the harvest? Man. We do. A great lesson for children is to give them a little cup and put some soil in it and a little seed and have them be diligent to water that. And then they start to watch that little plant. We've had many a sunflower in our backyard from those little cups. But it's amazing to see how a dried, looks like a dead seed can produce fruit. And yet we have the incorruptible seed in us that we that grows, that germinates into that Christ in us. Immediately we have Christ in us because of that seed. It's all about seed time and harvest. Isn't that wonderful? So are you expecting a bumper crop in your garden? We all should, because God wants to bless us exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. What about when we sow our first fruits, when we abundantly share? Are you waiting for God to flood your bank account? Who harvests? Man does, right? So we harvest in our speaking. We speak blessings over our gifts. We speak abundance. We speak prosperity. We speak about the goodness of our Abba Father, that He wants to prosper us, to be in health as our soul prospers. We do the speaking to get the harvest. If we speak lack, do you think you're going to have a harvest? No, you're not going to have that. We need to speak what God's Word says, because, and we'll see here when we look at the parable of the sower, that seed is the Word of God. That's all we have. That's what we speak. God spoke His words, what created the heavens and the earth. He didn't just have some type of a clay and all of a sudden mold everything. He spoke it into being. That's how powerful our words are. When I was a little girl, some of my favorite summer memories was going to Topeka, Kansas, to my Uncle Sylvester Meyer's farm. And being a city girl, this was a big deal. It was a lot different from what we were used to. The men folk would go out into the field at the crack of dawn, and then they would return to the house for a big breakfast that my aunt would prepare, and then go back and work. And we were put to work. By then there was about 9 of us in my family and all of us kids. I think the boys actually were sent to the fields, but us younger ones were sent to the strawberry patch. And we would see these beautiful strawberries that I've never seen such beautiful ones. And, of course, we had to taste test a few just to make sure that they were ripe. And we would work in the store selling the produce. The whole family was involved, and the harvest was always plenteous. And when you have that unity and that working together, there's always great harvest. God has a harvest for each of us, but the first steps in reaping that harvest is growing the good seed in our hearts. The parable of the sower and the seed was what convinced me that I had found what I was always looking for, the truth, because I saw how God's Word explained itself. I was taught that we couldn't really understand the Bible, that some man had to teach it to you, that God is such a good Father that He wants to talk to His children, and that's one way of Him talking to us, is through His Word. There are 4 types of ground where the good seed was sown in the parable of the sower and the seed, representing the different responses to the Word of God. The hard ground represents someone with a hardened heart full of sin that hears the Word of God but does not accept it. Satan is able to keep this person from growing at all. The stony ground is someone who shows interest and awareness in the gospel, yet his heart isn't fully convinced, so that when trouble comes, his faith is not strong enough to stand. The thorny ground is the person who receives the gospel, but who has many other distractions in life, worries, doubts, riches, lusts, which take over his mind and heart, and he cannot grow in the truth of God's word. But the good soil is someone who has heard and received the word of God and allows it to take root and grow within his life. This person represents the power of the good news of the gospel that bears good fruit. Are you ready to get your hands dirty? Two of the most important occupations in the Eastern biblical culture were shepherds and farmers. Jim Majerus shared recently that the ministry of reconciliation is the ministry of shepherding. We go after the lost sheep, we rescue them, we heal their wounds, we comfort them with our words, we protect them by teaching them the power of teaching them the truth of the power of God in the Holy Spirit. We encourage and we give hope. This important ministry we have been given starts with the garden of our hearts. How is your garden growing? You can tell if you have a healthy garden by the fruit that comes out of it. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." In Romans 10:9-10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. See how important the heart and our mouth are? The heart is where our believing comes from, and the mouth is a confession of what we believe. So we sow the word of God. We guard it. We let it germinate in a healthy soil. And the fruit we reap is peace, joy, trust, faith, believing, hope, and love. A couple weeks ago, Shakti shared a poem called Gardening God's Way. And I want to share some of the things that we need in the garden of our own hearts. It says, plant 3 rows of peas. Peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of soul. Plant 4 rows of squash. Always have to have squash. Squash gossip, squash indifference, squash grumbling, squash selfishness. Plant 4 rows of lettuce. Let us be thankful. Let us be faithful. Let us be obedient. Let us really love one another. No garden does well without turnips. Turnip for meetings, turnip for service, turnip to help one another. Water freely and with patience and cultivate with love. There is much fruit in your garden because you reap what you sow. To conclude our garden, we must have time. Time for God, time for study, time for prayer. Those many things that we have, each one of us can work on individually. That peace in our mind, our heart, and soul, that squashing those things that cause division, that take us out of our own self. We need to look at others, not ourselves, and let us be faithful. Turn up for meetings, turn up for service, help one another. I love that. And then take time for God, for study, and for prayer. We have to sow that good seed in our own lives so that we can have a harvest to give to others. In James chapter 5, verse 7, is a great exhortation to us. And I'm going to read the NLT translation. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rain in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near." That hope was real 2,000 years ago and it still is real to us today. It's our responsibility to sow. Let's get our hands dirty. Work hard to get out of ourselves and pray. Minister, God sees to it those seeds grow. He is faithful to fulfill his word. Then we will reap a great harvest. And let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. And I'm going to read this also in the NIV. It says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked." And another translation is, "You can't outsmart God. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Our world needs healing, and we are the ones to shine the light of hope, help, and a healthy harvest. We eagerly look for a valuable harvest to ripen, souls to save. Let's join together in gardening our hearts so that we can reap a great harvest building the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for your tremendous word, and that is the seed that germinates in our lives, that changes our lives, that takes us from darkness to light, that gives us hope in a dark world. I thank you that the Christ in us can just grow even greater in our realization of who we are and how righteous we are, and that love that we can give, that we receive from you, Father, we can give to others. I thank you that we can all be aware of those beautiful gardens that we are growing, that we can reach out to others, that we can share the good news of the gospel with them. I thank you for putting people in our path that we can love and encourage and give them hope. I thank you for always knowing where we are, always knowing every thought that we have, and that you have a divine destiny and purpose for all of us. And we're just so thankful, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.